This is Steve.
This is Annette.
And we're America's Money Smart Family.
And you're listening to Vicki and Jen.
What really matters.
While the holiday season can bring out the best in people, it can also bring out those pesky Grinches looking to take advantage of our festive spirit. From fake online retailers to bogus charitable pleas, the Better Business Bureau sees it all during the holiday season. Keep informed of the most recent scams by checking out BBB's consumer news blog at bbb.org/blog. And let the Better Business Bureau be by your side this holiday season. Start with trust at bbb.org.
To talk to me.
This is Vicki and Jen, making life simple so you can enjoy what really matters.
Medical insurance, copays, claim disputes, and just big old bills. Icky, huh? But come on now, you know that we are not about the icky around here at What Really Matters.
True. Now let's turn that information into inform and be in charge of your own better health and health care.
Right.
Now, to do that, we have with us Steve and Annette Economides, America's Money Smart Family. Well, hello, Economides.
Well, hi there, girls.
Good to talk to you guys again.
Good to talk to you guys.
Always our pleasure. Now, you actually approached us with this topic. I mean, and you have stories to tell. Did something horrible, expensive, medical-wise come your way and you just felt you had to teach the rest of us about how to navigate the medical system?
You know, girls, there isn't any one thing that really happened to us. I think every family in life goes through their share of medical issues.
And when you have five kids, you go through your share proportionately in greater numbers.
Right. And but being America's Money Smart Family, obviously we always want to learn how to do things smarter, better, use our resources.
And actually, last year was kind of a banner year, quote, unquote. Our daughter Abby had four knee surgeries.
Oh, so my.
We did experience well over $100,000 worth of medical bills, and we did use our insurance. And fortunately, because we've been doing this for so long and we know how to use our policy and know how to work through the medical maze, which is what we're going to talk about today, the stress wasn't on the bills. The stress was more on Abby got an infection after her knee surgery and having to work through all those details. But fortunately, we didn't have to stress about the money.
Okay, well, before we go further, is she okay now?
She's fine now.
Okay.
And, you know,
right.
Girls, a lot of folks that we talk to as we travel around the country and we speak, they're really overwhelmed and confused about how to navigate the whole medical maze. And so that's why we felt like this was a really good issue for us to talk about. I mean, obviously, we can talk about any number of things because of the three books that we've written. But, you know, this one, we did a couple of other radio shows, and we thought, oh, we should be calling Vicki and Jen on this, because it can easily be a whole hour's discussion.
Yeah. Medical bills are a point of financial distress for many families and are one of the top sources for bankruptcy. So we really need to educated on this, be money smart with it. Because it really does matter. It affects our lives.
It's kind of like, I know with my family, I always call it like it's a big gamble. It's a risk because, you know, just that big decision about how high your deductible should be. And, you know, and boy, just let's hope that nothing happens because if it does, you know, you're out of luck.
Right. And it's also something that's usually like that. It's that unexpected. I mean, even if you're good with the budgeting and all that kind of stuff, it's kind of like sometimes these things happen and it's like, wow, weren't planning on that. And then where are you supposed to get it from? And that just is just a stress right off the bat.
Well, let's defuse that right now.
Yeah, because we've got some ideas and some tips to share.
Well, let's
to help people.
So first off, let's deal with oh gosh, that's unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we set up our budgeting system, and we talk about that in our first book, America's Cheapest Family Gets You Right on the Money. One of the categories in our budget is medical. And every paycheck, we set aside a predetermined amount to cover office visits, to cover prescription drugs, those kind of things. Now, we've changed a little bit, and we put in an HSA, health savings account, which we're going to talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, every paycheck, we're setting aside something to cover expected medical expenses. Now, if you have a family, you can pretty much predict that you're going to go to the doctor a couple times a year. So if you figure you've got a – now, we're going to use some definitions here.
Mm-hmm.
You already mentioned deductible. Deductible is the amount that you're going to pay 100% of before the insurance company starts
mm-hmm.
kicking in and paying. So let's say you have a $1,000 deductible. You go to the doctor's office, and let's say you calculate that you have, you know, two kids, and they're each going to go two times, and your copay, another term, is $35. So right there, you've got $140 worth of medical expenses you're going to have in a year if you're just kind of calculating stuff. Because you've got two kids at $30, $35 a piece, that's $70 times two, that's $140 a year. So right there, you're at about $10 a month you got to save. Now you're going to have to save more than that. But you see what we're doing is we're calculating
mm-hmm.
out
right.
what your
a ballpark.
Now, some policies don't allow the copays to be counted towards the
right.
deductible.
They don't ever.
Right. And most of the time
right.
the deductible is basically hospitalization or for things like blood work or x-rays.
Things that are above
tests.
And beyond your office visit.
Right. Tests,
right.
basically.
Okay.
An MRI, that kind of thing.
But let's say you've got that $1,000 deductible. You know that your maximum exposure right there is $1,000, but there's more. Because then there's co-insurance, which is the amount you're going to pay after your deductible. And a lot of policies, you know, they're 80, 20, 70,
mm-hmm.
30, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it'll be limited. And I don't want to get too technical, but there's a certain amount. You can calculate what your maximum exposure is. And on a 70-30 policy, $1,000 deductible, you may have a maximum exposure of about $2,500. So
hmm.
if you put aside $2,500 in a health savings account or in just a budget category, you know, worst-case scenario, your family will be covered.
Basically, what Steve is saying is you have to pay your $1,000 deductible, and then oftentimes you have to pay 30% up to, like, another threshold,
sure.
which is $5,000 or $8,000 mm-hmm. or $10,000. This is why we say you have to read your policy and know what you have. So you can actually calculate what the outside
The
maximum. Yeah, the maximum outside would be, and then set that aside. Most people don't even think about that.
No.
And even if you can't do that right now, but like Steve said, on your with your bi-monthly budget, every 2 weeks when you get paid, just put aside something toward medical expenses. So even if you haven't been able to sit down and really calculate what your maximum exposure would be, you know, put aside $50 or $100 per paycheck in a medical category within your budget. So that as things come up, it's not a surprise financially. You've got money there.
And how much better would it be if you had an emergency and maybe you didn't have 100% of the money to cover it, but you had 60%
of it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of tough because you're still paying your monthly premium,
mm-hmm.
which is nuts.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to save more on top of that.
Correct.
What if that person says, you know what, I'm going to skip it this paycheck because we're all healthy, nothing's going to happen. I mean, you feel it's important. You have to save.
Right. To me, medical expense.
That's called being an ostrich and burying your head in the sand.
It's just like
your car is going to break down. So do you not save for repairs?
Right.
It's going to happen. Your tires
right.
are going to wear out.
Well,
and,
right.
and we're doing the same thing. And you know what? If it doesn't happen and you end up with extra money in there, then take it out.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. You know, we're talking about all these different kinds of policies and things like that, and we always, you know, I'm pretty sure I know where my big policy book is, but I'm not sure. If you, like, call the insurance company and give them your member number and stuff like that, are they pretty forthcoming, and they can they explain it to you in layman's terms of what your, you know, is it 1,000, then up to 25 at a 70, 30?
They can explain stuff. But you need to make sure you see it in writing.
Okay.
Because
okay.
sometimes they'll make up stories about things depending on who you're talking
well,
to.
Let's talk about occupational therapy.
Yeah. Okay, one of our kids needed occupational therapy when he was little, and I looked everywhere in the benefit book. Couldn't find it. I finally called up the insurance, and I said, is occupational therapy for our youngest son covered under our policy? She said, yeah. I said, well, where is it in the book? I've looked everywhere. She said, oh, see at the end of all the benefits, there's a phrase that says other services.
Oh, no,
well,
really?
It falls under that. I said, so for Pete's sakes, basically if I didn't call and didn't ask, I would never have known, and I would have just assumed that we had to cover all that.
Oh, so So if I were to make a call, could I, well, I guess they would just say, look at your policy better or whatever, but I'm wondering.
I wouldn't rely on them to tell you what you have. I would rely on them to be the resource. You want to back everything up with writing, because then if you move ahead.
So you want to read your policy.
Right.
And then ask them specific questions. And, you know, another good thing to have is if you have an insurance agent who actually sells you the policy, it's always another good resource to get ideas from.
But you don't want to be in a situation where, you know, some new employee has told you that something is covered. You go and you do something, you find out it's not covered, and then it's your word against their word.
Mm-hmm.
So you always want to find in writing, you want to ask them, where is this in my policy book?
Mm-hmm.
You want to verify
okay.
everything.
Okay.
But we, you know, girls, if we're going to get through all the stuff and there's a lot to get through, can
mm-hmm.
we
yeah.
dance along to the next topic?
Yeah,
absolutely.
We can, for
okay.
sure.
Because the next one is smart ways to resolve medical claims. And I'm going to just tell a quick story here. This was back in 1999. I had severe pain. I wasn't sure if it was a tubal pregnancy. I was trying to figure out. I've never had anything like that before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
My OBGYN had rights only at certain hospitals. We decided to go to that hospital because I thought, well, maybe this is a tubal pregnancy. Turns out it was a kidney stone. And when they say kidney stones are worse than birth, delivery, they're correct.
Yeah.
I've only ever had one in my life, and I hope that's all I ever
right,
have, but
it
was brutal. So we ended up finding out later on that hospital just happened to not be on our plan. So
yeah.
Steve ended up.
So they were covered out of network, which is a separate deductible and a different cost structure.
Right. So Steve negotiated all of that stuff for us, got through it. We thought it was a done deal.
I sent a letter in writing telling them why we went to that hospital because the doctor had rights there. And they agreed to cover it in-network, which
right.
means everything's negotiable.
Right.
You've got to realize.
Interesting.
Right. But he had to work his way up quite a few levels to a supervisor to get help. And anyway, so we thought that was a closed deal. We had a file folder just with all my kidney stone bills and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know.
It was about 5 years later.
5 years later, we, you know, actually it was just before 5 years later, when we were cleaning out files, and Steve goes, oh, this kidney stone stuff is so old, let's get rid of it. I said, honey,
yeah.
I don't know why, but something is telling me we need to hold on to this.
Men, listen to your wives when
they
say.
Oh, no.
Number one lesson.
Oh,
and,
no.
And Steve was like, you're being ridiculous. I said, ridiculous it is, but let's hold on to the folder.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a week later, no kidding, a week to 2 weeks later, we get a letter in the mail saying, oh, we've been reviewing your records, and we think you haven't paid enough for that claim that happened. And we're like, what?
You owe us $360.
Steve called up the board of whatever.
The board, the medical board in the state of Arizona, it turns out that hospitals are often solicited by billing review companies. And hospitals in Arizona have 7 years to correct their bill.
Oh, my.
Imagine if you're running a business and you go back to a client and say, hey, sorry, I didn't bill you enough. You know, I'm going to bill
wow.
you more now, 7 years later. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah,
and if
he
didn't know what our rights were, we would have been like, okay, we'll pay this.
What happens is the companies go through the bills, and they say, oh, you have an opportunity to make some money here. They take 10% of what's collected.
Sure they do.
The hospital gets the rest.
Sure they
do.
So
they ended up sending us to collections because I had my records, and I said, you guys were overpaid.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up, I talked to a guy at the medical board of insurance, the insurance medical board, and he said, look, don't deal with the
billing
department anymore. He said, go right to the CFO's office.
Mm.
Went to the CFO's office, and he basically, I said, you know, you're running a business, and you're coming back to me 7 years later.
And the mistake we made, we realized in that, in the initial round of negotiations, is when the insurance had paid everything, we never got a zero balance document from the hospital. That would have saved our life.
Whenever you're contesting a bill,
right,
get the final statement in writing.
Right, right.
So you have proof that
so there's closure.
That
so
is a great
work through this.
So you're saying keep your records. You're saying know how the system works a little bit. Know the rules.
Right. Well, whenever you're working through a dispute, always have a folder and make sure you write down who you're talking to. If it's a common name like Mary, say, can I please have the first letter of your last name? If they have an employee number, get that. Write down the day that you called, the time that you call, and literally keep a journal.
And this is what pay dirt for us, is when I talked to the CFO, I said, I talked to this person on this day. They never returned my call. I talked to this person. They said this on this day. And I went through a litany of people I had talked to who didn't do what they said in the company. He's going, oh, my gosh, our company's broken. You know, but we staple this piece of paper inside the front cover of the folder, and that's where we keep track of all of our phone calls.
But, okay, but we need to move on. I just want to close by saying this one little section. There are medical billing advocate companies out there. BillAdvocates.com can help people. If there's anybody listening and they're completely overwhelmed with medical bills, there are people that will help you negotiate this stuff if you don't even know where to start and you're overwhelmed.
That's
and
good
it's also
to know.
A good business for someone who wants to do work from home and maybe understands the medical business.
Yeah.
They train you and you become an independent contractor and can help other people.
Which I would assume it would be a growing occupation these days with how things are going to be changing.
So, yeah.
There's going to be tons of disputes and things like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Steve, you said something else that caught my attention. You said that everything is negotiable. And I wanted to mention that again because I don't think a lot of people realize that they can negotiate.
Well, you have to very politely continue to go up the ladder.
Yeah.
Because you will have people that only have certain dollar limit authority, and they'll say, there's nothing more I can do for you. And you very politely need to say, I'd like to speak with your supervisor, please. And be prepared. You'll get hung up on. I mean, this is not for sissies. You've got to be persistent. And you've got to dedicate time to it.
Yeah.
So I understand if people don't have the time, and that's where those medical billing advocates can come in and help.
Well, and, you know, Stephen and Annette, it's a little scary and it's a little intimidating. Jeff and I have gone through a little bit of a dispute, and I just kind of, you start getting a little scared.
Yes.
You know, because they're like, well, we're going to do this, and it's
and then you
scary.
Start getting kicked off of all of the time that you have invested.
Scary.
Yes.
Frustrating.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
You just have to keep going up the ladder asking for supervisors, because the people at the bottom just are not usually the real fun people to work with.
Right.
Just do a quick calculation, because our threshold is $10 an hour is what we have to be earning to spend time on something. So when I'm faced with a $360 five-year-old bill that they're trying to collect on, I'm sitting there going, okay, if I spent 10 hours on this, that'd be $36 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Is that worth my time?
Hell yeah.
And that's just kind of how we calculate
that
stuff.
That is a great way to think about it, yeah.
You know, if it's a 50-cent overcharge and it takes me more than a minute, I'm not doing it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so that is a great way to look at it. Good tip.
But here's another way to deal with medical stuff, and that is, you've got to, you know, we're talking about being an expert on your medical policy. You have to actually become or want to become an expert on your medical conditions.
Yes.
Because, see, doctors, they care, but they only care for 15 minutes.
Oh, that's sad.
Maybe 20. But
that's true.
The person who is going to advocate for you the best and be the best expert
is you.
You or a family member.
Yeah.
So that's where we've got to become educated on our conditions.
Right. There's a book out there that we love called Prescription for Nutritional Healing, and it's got all kinds of naturopathic remedies to deal with stuff to help us all get healthy. And I literally refer to that. There's also the American Medical Association's medical guide, and those can be picked up at used bookstores all the time. They're pretty pricey books if you go get them new, but you know, this way, if you've got symptoms for things, you kind of follow a trail through the book, and it can give you the different possibilities of what those symptoms are. We are not a family that runs to the doctor at the drop of a hat.
Right.
And I think that costs a lot of money, and, you know, doctors are looking for quick fixes. They're busy, and, you know, they're trying to avoid that now, but there's so much that we can do health-wise to educate ourselves. One of our sons, when he was real little, had asthma. And I read every book I could on asthma and became very knowledgeable on herbs to use And to this day, he's 21 now. He doesn't have a stitch of asthma anymore. So there's ways that you can to learn about different things to help get yourself to a better place. I had candida and Epstein-Barr virus back, and I went to so many doctors, medical doctors, and they kept telling me, "Oh, you're just a young mother. Of course, you're tired."
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on a special candida diet and did the probiotics, and I am fairly healthy to this day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have some typical middle-aged blood pressure issues, but that's probably could be our life too.
Right. So you got to educate yourself on your own stuff, and you got to take care of yourself.
Well, you have to be your own advocate, but also what we're talking about too is being preventative.
So, three of our sons are Eagle Scouts. Every Eagle Scout, every Boy Scout has to go through a first aid class. Every family ought to do the same thing. What about taking a CPR class? You know, they aren't expensive. It's a great skill to have. Know how to deal with bleeding issues, applying pressure. These are simple, basic first aid things that every family ought to know. It can prevent trips to the emergency room. It can prevent death, and it can benefit you and lots of other people. We also, you know, advocate getting healthy, going for walks, learning to exercise, learning to stretch. Get some education on what it takes to live a healthy lifestyle.
Okay, the fourth topic we wanted to cover today, if it's okay with you gals, if we keep moving along.
Oh, yes, of course.
How to get the most out of your doctor visits. Always bring a list of questions with you when you're dealing with some issues. Mm-hmm. Don't be shy about getting second opinions.
Just remember, the doctor works for you. You're employing him, so it's okay for you to come in and take control of the office visit and say, "I've got these questions, I want these answers," you know, that kind of stuff.
My dad had a major medical issue several years back. I think it was like 2008 or 2009 when he was given thyroid medicine and it almost killed him. And literally he went into almost a...
His blood sugar level rate jumped from about 150...
to 800. He shouldn't have been conscious, and he was conscious. But he sustained brain damage as a result of that, and he's never been the same since. And he did all kinds of research on his laptop, on the Internet, and found out that this particular thyroid medicine should never be started in males over 70, and that's exactly what my dad was. So we didn't go sue anybody for malpractice, but we got him off of that medicine as quickly as we could, and... it was just really a crazy time trying to figure out what was going on.
What was interesting is I came to this conclusion, and we're telling these doctors in the hospital that we think it's the thyroid medication because that's the only thing that's changed in the last 3 weeks, and yet his blood sugar level spiked. And they're going, "No, we need to run all these other tests." I said, "Take him off of the darn thyroid medication." The hospital doctor wanted to do all these other tests. Mm-hmm. Some of them would have damaged his kidneys, which he's had kidney problems. Annette looked at this doctor and fired her on the spot. And later on, a nurse came in and said, "You made the right decision. You have every right to do that."
Every right. Yeah, you can fire the hospital doctor.
Okay, but if you are the sissy type, as you said, Annette, you don't feel like you can be that vocal and, if need be, aggressive and take things into your own hands and take control, then you have to have someone on your team who is going to be there with you side by side and know it.
You know, most of the time when it's a parent, you're right, most of the time when it's a parent, there's usually one sibling that can do it, that can pull it off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole nother key, and that we're going to talk about that at the end, but one of our rules is nobody stays in the hospital in our family alone.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's just so many things that can happen with shifts changing and wrong meds being given and all that.
And there is just a lack of communication in hospitals, and it seems to be happening. We have a friend that just went through this, and there's just this disconnect sometimes between, like you said, like with shift changes and paperwork not being done correctly. You know, one little checkbox can make a huge difference.
That's
so there does need to be a follow through, and you know, you do need to be prepared when you go to a doctor visit and have that list of questions. And it's common sense, it's preparation, it's information.
We have a medical notebook for each of my parents that we take with them. all their medical visits, and definitely when they're in the hospital. And everybody that enters their room, we ask, who are you and what are you doing? And we write everything down.
Oh, my gosh, that's genius.
That is really smart. But let me ask this. What if, because everybody's had this happen, you have your list of questions, and let's say we're at a doctor visit, and your doctor is halfway out the door. Don't you hate that? When they go to the door,
yeah.
and you're like, whoa, I'm not done yet.
Yeah, that just...
I mean, I know I
you have to be assertive, and you have
right.
to say, excuse me, I just have a couple of quick questions I need to ask you. My OBGYN with my first child knew I had so many questions that at each visit he looked at me and goes, what's your list of questions for today?
Before that time, though, he never had time for her until she said, I have a list of questions, I need you to answer them.
Yeah.
But then he got used to it.
Again, but we're paying them.
That's right.
Wrote a book called Love, Medicine, and Miracles, and it really deals with cancer patients recovering.
Yeah.
And he said the patients that recover the fastest and the best are the ones that are a pain in the butt to their doctors.
There you go.
Because they are participating in their recovery rather than just looking at the doctor saying, oh, tell
okay,
me what to
okay,
do.
Whatever you say. So it's okay.
You need to be a pain in the butt to the doctors. And if the doctor can't handle it, find a different doctor.
I mean, think about movies like Lorenzo's Oil, where the parents became the expert on their child's disability and the solution. So, I mean, it can consume you. There has to be balance. But, you know, that's to me, that's part of my job description as a mom.
Exactly.
To learn and research
to
become an expert on things that my family's dealing with.
I'm already a pain in the butt. Right. I got half the job done, right?
Here's another way to say it. Now, we're gonna switch gears, because 55% of people in America are currently taking drugs every month.
Yeah,
and we're not
talking
illegal drugs. We're talking prescription drugs. So with that many people doing it, there's got to be ways to save. And so we're going to give you a kind of a hit list of ways to save. And one is, number one, avoid prescriptions by getting healthy. And we both went on Weight Watchers and lost weight, and unfortunately it didn't change my cholesterol, which really ticked me off.
No. That's okay, because that was proved to be hereditary. Another way is to have your doctor prescribe a three-month supply or a double dosage where you can split the pills.
Mm-hmm.
These are all, ask for generics rather than the latest,
greatest
thing.
Okay, and now, a lot of people don't know this, but if you're on a limited income, most drug manufacturers have what are called patient assistance programs. And you fill out an application for whatever drug you're taking with the manufacturer, not with the pharmacy. And a lot of times you can end up getting that drug for cost or for free.
Really? You're talking about like a long-term...
Yeah, if you're taking the diabetes medication or... I don't know, a heart medication that's really expensive, Plavix, I don't know what it would fall under, but I know my dad has done it, Annette's parents have done it, and it saves thousands of dollars.
So it's called patient assistance programs.
And you will find them.
Also, ask your doctors for samples. You know, we were in the doctor's office a little bit more frequently than I would like to be because he had asthma. I would bring a canvas tote bag with me, and I would ask the nurse who knew us real well if we could have some samples. And they get bombarded with samples from pharmaceutical companies.
Right,
so
right.
She put all kinds of things in the tote bag, from cough syrup and salt drops and aspirin and Tylenol to even soap. They had even gotten bars of soap and lotion,
really?
And they
just
would fill my tote bag with all that stuff.
You got to ask.
Now, here's the thing. If the doctor prescribes a new prescription for you, and it's a relatively expensive one. You know, we're not talking about antibiotics or something like that, although you can ask for samples of the antibiotic. Ask him if he's got some samples of the new prescription medication. That way, if there's an adverse reaction, you haven't gone out and spent $300 on a prescription that you can't use. So test it first. Let's be smart about this.
Also, know some of the options for yourself. Like we were in Texas one time on a family vacation, and our son, John, got real sick, and we had to take him to a doctor out there. And the doctor wanted to prescribe some new antibiotic gizmo thing, and it was going to be like over $100. And I was just like, you know what? Ask for erythromycin. I know erythromycin is for, you know, your upper respiratory system, your lungs, your chest, all that stuff. And so Steve went back to the doctor's.
$4.
And it was, I... It was something ridiculous.
It was really low, and as opposed to like $100.
Yeah.
That's self-education again.
Right.
Okay, here's another one. This is interesting. We have a friend who's a doctor. He was our GP here in the States, and now he's in Papua New Guinea on a missionary base treating people. He gets pills from manufacturers and from doctor's offices that are solid form pills that are out of code. And they are just as potent, 5 years later as they were when they were first made. As a matter of fact, Army did research on this, and they said they lose maybe 3 to 5% per year in their potency. So we keep drugs and keep them in the refrigerator, and solid pills do not degrade in quality. So just be smart about how you store your pills. If they're gels, be very careful with them.
I always wondered about that.
You could always just call your doctor, because I took in all sorts of pills for, I know this was for my dog, but I had all these different prescriptions, and I knew that he was going to want to give her a different one. So I took in a whole big Ziploc of all of them. But I wrote down a list. I have this many pills of this kind, and this was the date you prescribed it. And he said, great, let's do this. And I didn't have to buy any new prescriptions.
Yay.
I know
that.
Awesome. Same thing. Wow. Now, it was for Valentine, my dog. But I saved a ton of money because I had all these pills that we had.
Yeah.
Because we were just going through some things. And I was like, it's a great, great thing.
Yeah.
So,
we'll talk more about saving money. This is really funny. Okay, so our daughter Abby's going in for knee surgery. And we know that after knee surgery, ACL replacement, they'll put her in a really long knee brace. They cost $700 new. I think they're probably cost about $50 to make. But they're $700. Now, our daughter Becky had knee surgery several years before, and we already had the brace. We used the previous brace.
There you go.
Like the idea of bringing something unsterile into the operating room, but he did it anyway.
Well, we sterilized as much as we could.
There are ways. When you pay retail on those things, even if you have insurance, it's still going to cost you. So here are some ways you can pick up medical durable goods way less expensive.
Well, how about this? How about we use that as a teaser? We have to take a break, and then we'll be hanging on the edge of our seats to learn about medical equipment savings. So let's do our break.
I'm hanging.
All right.
'Tis the season for holiday cheer. But before you shop, dine out, or donate to a charity, be sure to check BBB Business Reviews first.
You can see customer reviews and complaints from customers like yourself, all for free. So this holiday season, start with trust at the Better Business Bureau, bbb.org.
We are back with Steve and Annette, previously known as America's Cheapest Family, but now they're known as America's Money Smart Family. But around here, they're actually known as our friends, because we chatted with them several times. So.
Yeah, we did. We talked about everyday frugal living. That was our first show together. Grocery shopping. And then we did the Money Smart Family. And those are some of our past shows. They're full of great tips and systems to be financially responsible, save money, and raise our kids to do the same.
Mm.
You can find all of these shows on iTunes, on Stitcher, or at VickiandJen.com.
You can get to Steve and Annette straight there at MoneySmartFamily.com. For all their books and their great blog, which is full of questions and answers, and I think we need to get right back to medical equipment saving.
Right.
Okay? Give us some more tips there, guys.
All right, so let's say you have a child who breaks a leg and you need crutches. Of course, the doctor's office will be very happy to sell you crutches for about $150 or $200.
Yeah, or refer you to some place where you can get durable medical equipment new. Yeah. Or you can go to your local Goodwill or Savers, and you can pick up crutches for less than $10.
There
is so much medical equipment from canes and walkers. We even saw a wheelchair one time.
Those immobilizing boots, they're always there. So don't forget that thrift stores will have that durable medical good. Even if you have elderly parents and you need a walker a seat for a shower. Mm-hmm. Those things are always there.
And the other option is senior centers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of senior centers will rent equipment for older folks at a super discounted rate.
So here's one.
I'm talking like $5 for 6 months or something.
Now here's one. Abby, our daughter, who had the 4 knee surgeries last year, when she first tore her ACL, we needed to put her in an athletic brace because she had to wait for the swelling to go down before mm-hmm. she could have surgery. So we bought a brace, or we wanted to buy a brace that would protect her, but she'd also be able to use after surgery when she got back into sports. And we did some research. The doctor helped us, and he was going to sell us a brace for, I want to say, $1,200. I started calling the manufacturers, and I was able to find a way to get it from the manufacturer directly for much less. So it pays to do your research. Call around. Don't take no for an answer. We went and visited a place that sold them separately, and he gave us the name of a rep in the area. There's all kinds of ways to save.
But ask friends, too.
They don't need any more.
We've loaned out our crutches several times to friends, and they've come back, you know, after several weeks.
If you don't use them for medical stuff, you can use them for Halloween.
That's a good point, Steve. I saw a post on Facebook of someone looking for crutches. I'm like, that's really smart. Because it almost seems silly now. After all of the great resources you just shared, it seems silly to pay retail for something new.
Well, the problem is they get you because you're there. You know,
and you need it.
And we had a kid with a broken leg, and we're like, and they're like, yeah, you're going to need this walker thing. And we're like, yeah, I guess we do. So, of course,
Yeah, you know, they aren't prescribing crutches anymore now. They're prescribing those scooters. You know, when you put one knee on the scooter, because those are more expensive.
Kids
aren't going to know how to use crutches anymore.
But let me just interject in here, Vicki and Jen, and let everybody know that we're running a special on our website right now. For anybody that wants to come and place an order, we're going to give them a free $20 membership.
If they use the discount code Vicki, A-N-D, Jen.
Vicki with a Y?
Vicki with a Y.
Vicki with a Y.
So they can get a free website subscription, which gives them the option of sending us 4 questions a year. We'll answer them personally. They get access to all of our articles that we've written over the past 10 years, and it's a cool thing.
That's great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
The last topic we wanted to hit on today was 10 ways to keep your body healthier, and some of them are so simple and such common sense, everybody will say, well, why didn't I think of that?
No, it's a great way to finale.
We do need to talk about. The first one is to drink water. You know, our parents' generation, they lived on coffee. And trying to get my parents to drink water is like twisting an arm behind a back, you know. And I think the younger generation is more open to this, but still soda pop and monster drinks and energy drinks are all out there. And it's really important that we're just using good old-fashioned water to flush our bodies.
And it's cheap.
That's right. And just an aside on the energy drinks, we have a friend who's a dentist, and he said that the incidence of tooth decay, even with sealants and other things, has increased tremendously since the energy drinks have become so popular because they are not only high in caffeine, but they have even more sugar than things like
Mountain Dew.
So if we're giving our kids energy drinks, I think we need to reconsider that.
Right. Whenever you're out in a public place, wash your hands. You know, when our kids were little, they got so sick whenever they'd be at the church nursery, and we just made it a point whenever we came home from the library, church, wherever, a field trip to a museum, the first thing we did was march off to the bathroom and wash hands.
Hey, here's another one. Get outside. Get outside and get some vitamins.
Yes.
Get some sunshine.
So simple.
15 minutes a day helps keep your body in balance. That's all we need. Now, I know it's harder when it's snowing and everything outside.
Right.
But, you know, we got to get outside and get that sunlight.
Disinfect your doorknobs, light switches, phones. You know, make sure you go out throughout your house like once a month and spray all of those things down with either a bleach solution, an ammonia solution, vinegar, whatever you want to use, but clean off all those things that everybody touches.
Yeah, people usually only do that when they're sick, and then they think about it.
Right.
Right.
So go back to preventative.
Right.
This was one of the chores we put on our chore chart. And so our kids would basically, whenever they whenever they would look at the chore chart, you know, they're one of the, once a week or so, or once every 2 weeks would be the time for. It's 12 o'clock in a
we can hear it's 12.
Hold on. Annette's trying to stop the clock.
Don't worry about it.
She doesn't know how to open the door. You have to twist the little knob. Okay. So anyway, one of the chores we had for our kids was disinfecting doorknobs and light switches, and that way it got done on a more regular basis than when all of a sudden, everybody's sick, you know, when you
Yeah, sure. And,
so
and
really
it's
helps.
Perfect for the little kid in the house, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like we've said earlier, research herbs and naturopathic things that you can take, colloidal silver, echinacea, pau d'arco, cat's claw, all of those are really good things to have in your arsenal.
Whenever a doctor prescribes antibiotics, and we just did this about 3 weeks ago, we were speaking all over the country, my throat was starting to get sore, and I couldn't get over a cold. We went to the doctor. He said, well, it could be bronchitis, so let me prescribe an antibiotic. I said, no. You know, write the prescription, but we aren't going to fill it. I'm going to let it go over the weekend and keep on the herbs.
It's there if I need it.
Right.
It was a viral thing, and, you know, they like to prescribe just in case, but it's not good for us to be using antibiotics so quickly.
Right. Another one is to keep your bowels moving. I know that sounds crazy, but lots of fruits and vegetables and fiber is real good, and sometimes when folks are busy and they're eating a little bit too much fast food, they aren't getting enough fiber.
Yeah.
And cleaning yourself out on a regular daily basis is really important to keeping your body healthy.
Right. This is a crazy
Can't get backed up.
Yep,
important.
Last year we re-landscaped our yard, and by the end of the landscaping project, my back was a mess.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a couple of doctors, and they gave me a few things, but the biggest help I got, because I'm into self-education, was YouTube.
Really?
No joke. I learned some stretches and some exercises, and I also read a book called Pain Free by Pete Agoscu, who runs clinics, physical therapy clinics. But between YouTube and the book, I have self-cured, and finally, it took a while, but got through this back issue that was ridiculously painful. So, YouTube.
Yeah, and like we said earlier, make sure you have some good books in your library. The Prescription for Nutritional Healing, the American Medical Association's Medical Guide, those are absolute givens that
we
should have.
We review all these books, and we have several others on our website at moneysmartfamily.com, so just do some searching in our online bookstore, and you'll find all kinds of resources.
That's right. Awesome. It's all about education, information, helping yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh darn it, we keep coming back to that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it takes a little bit of time, there's a payoff.
So my gosh, really, it's worth hundreds.
Yeah.
Hundreds and thousands over the course of a lifetime.
Right. The secret is fitting it into our busy schedules, but the payoff is big.
Well, yeah, but it's kind of important.
Right.
Kind of. I'm thinking. I'm thinking. So you guys, again, have brought to us common sense and logic. How dare. That was awesome.
Plus they're fun to chat with.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, guys. We always learn so much with you.
True.
No, we don't want you guys to feel overwhelmed or anything, so just start with one thing.
That's right,
right. Start with where you are. If it's a medical condition you need to research, start doing your research on YouTube and Google stuff and get some books from the library. If it's learning about your medical insurance, keep a policy, ask a ton of questions, but just start with one thing.
Right.
And the best tip, don't be a sissy.
Love it.
Thanks a lot, Vicky.
Love it. That's awesome. You guys, thank you very much.
All right. We love being on your show, girl.
Great being with you.
We love having you guys on. Please join us again as we learn, laugh, and grow together.
And make every day matter.